Hello and welcome. It is good to be with you today, and thank you for joining us. I hope that you are having a great day today. It's cloudy here. We're hoping for some rain. We certainly need some. I hope that you've been receiving what you need and continue to get what you need. But it is good to be with you as we meet with our Lord, and I am so thankful that our Lord wants us to have a personal relationship with Him. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to come to Him in salvation. And if you've not done that, I hope that you will place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, be born again into an eternal relationship with Him. And if you're a child of God, I hope that you're growing in that relationship, getting to know Him better, being able to trust Him more, walk closer to Him. And I hope that these times that we have enable you to do that and to help you in your walk. And since the whole purpose of our time together is, in fact, to grow in our relationship with the Lord, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You, O Lord, for this day. Father, that You've given us this time to come before You. You've given us Your Word. Father, You've given us Your Spirit to interpret Your Word. And Lord, as we're here, we want to know You. Father, we want to know Your ways. Father, we want to know, O God, how to grow and how to walk in our relationship with You, how to be pleasing unto You, how to experience You in our lives. Father, speak to us. Move in our midst, we pray, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I know we probably all love happy endings. I know I do. And that the love of happy endings is probably why old television shows and old movies and old songs continue to be played and broadcast and sold. And yet, we all know life isn't always that way. Some situations don't end happily. Some situations hang over us for years. Some situations hang over our heads for years and then end tragically. They don't just end happily after 2 or 3 minutes like the song, or hour and a half like the movie, or an hour like an old television show. Sometimes they just last and last and last. And when that chapter does end, it ends sadly and tragically. You know, we often talk about the light at the end of the tunnel or the end in sight, and yet so many times there is no end in sight. So many times there is no light. And you may be in just such a situation as that today. You're going through some circumstance, some situation, and it has just hung there and hung there, and there's no end in sight for you. It's not getting better, maybe even getting worse, and it doesn't look like it's going to end well. Now, I realize as soon as we talk about things like this, that, you know, it automatically crosses our mind, this is not a very uplifting thought. I mean, isn't the whole point of these devotions to strengthen and encourage us? Yes. But in reality, as we open God's Word to the book of Psalms, it's about faith in everyday life. There's a lot of theology in everyday circumstances. And as we look at this psalm, as we come this afternoon, or at least this afternoon for me, as we come to this 88th psalm, we see that this is the type of circumstances, the background. It's in fact written by Haman, whom we see in Psalm 8, who wrote Psalm 88. And yet, as we look at this psalm, we know that he was a musician. We know that from 1 Chronicles. There's the possibility that he's the same man who's mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 4 as a wise man under Solomon. And yet, he's in some difficult circumstance, some situation that does not end. And there does not seem to be any victory or any solution in sight. And so, again, we think about that. We think, well, that's a real downer. And yet again, it's real. What do we do in such times? And again, this may be very personal for you. You may be in just such a circumstance. It has lasted for months, maybe years. Doesn't seem to be giving any indication that it's going to get better. If it does end, it doesn't look like it's going to end well. How do we face such circumstances? Well, think of what we read as we go through Psalm 88. First thing we need to do is we need to seek God Himself. Look at verses 1 and 2. O Lord, the God of my salvation, I have cried out by day and in the night before You. Let my prayer come before You. Incline Your ear to my cry. Did you notice He's no longer praying, God, get me out, solve this problem, deliver me, provide for me, whatever the need may be. Oh God, I need you. Now, obviously, there's nothing wrong with praying for God to solve a problem, meet a need. In fact, He invites us to come to the throne of grace. We're commanded to lay our burdens upon Him. By all means, pray for the answers and the solutions. But many times, God will use circumstances to turn our heart from beyond merely wanting His answers to wanting Him Himself. Many times God will work through situations that will cause us to stop merely wanting the answers and the solutions, as important as they are and as great as they would be, to truly turn our heart toward Him. When we go through a long, difficult circumstance, one of the lessons that comes out of that is the realization that it is actually better to be in a problem, however bad it may be, with God, than to be out of the problem without God. And many times God will use the circumstances, the situations that we are in, to move us past merely wanting His solutions and answers, which are wonderful, and we can praise and thank Him for it, and we should, and He invites us to come to Him, and we can have a peace about it in the midst of the situation. But He'll want us to seek Him even more than the problem. And again, you may be going through a circumstance or a situation today, and I'm not going to belittle the severity of it, the weight of it upon your heart and your soul and your life. Not going to diminish how long it has lasted, how much it has worn you down. And yet in the midst of it, while you pray for God's answer and deliverance, seek God Himself. Even more than the answer, seek Him. But not only do we need to, in fact, seek God Himself, we need to seek God honestly. Remember again, God has brought us into a relationship with Himself, a genuine heart-to-heart relationship with God through faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And look at how this relationship is seen as this man begins to pray about this problem that he is in. Look at verses 3 through 9. For my soul has had enough troubles. My life has drawn near to Sheol. I am reckoned among those who go down to the pit. I become like a man without strength, forsaken among the dead. Like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, and they are cut off from your hand. You've put me in the lowest pit, in dark places, in the depths. Your wrath has rested upon me, and you have afflicted me with all of your waves. Selah. You have removed my acquaintances far from me. You have made me an object of loathing to them. I am shut up and cannot go out. My eye has wasted away because of affliction. I have called upon you every day, O Lord. I have spread out my hands to you. He holds nothing back. He pours everything out. Long, drawn-out problems strip away the near, the superficiality, and the shallowness of our faith. It brings out the honesty of our relationship with God. You think about how much of our Christian walk, especially in our generation, is really just shallow, superficial, religious stuff. And God will use a long, drawn-out problem to strip all of that away. So we are, in fact, standing upon Him and Him alone. And I'm not saying we've been hypocrites, and I'm not saying that we've done anything but sincerely try to know the truth and live out the truth, but we've also tended to add a lot of fluff instead of truly standing upon God, His Word, and His truth. And a long, drawn-out problem will sift out all that. It will, in fact, purge all that away. It has a refining element to it. And we need to, in fact, seek God honestly. We need to come before Him and pour out our heart, God, this is where I am. God, this is how I feel. God, this is what I face. Oh God, this is in fact where I am. We drop the facade and the churchy image and act, and we get real before Almighty God. And I don't mean we're in that we are anything less than reverent, that we're in anything less than in awe before Him. I'm not saying that we compromise, and I'm not saying we've been hypocrites up to this point, but I'm just saying it strips down everything to the absolute hardcore reality of who God is and our trust upon Him. What do we do in a long, drawn-out process? We seek God Himself, and we seek Him honestly. But look what else. We seek God alone. Look at verses 10 through 13. Will you perform wonders for the dead? Will the departed spirits rise and praise you, Selah? Will your loving kindness be declared in the grave, your faithfulness in Abaddon? Will your wonders be made known in the darkness, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, I have cried out to you for help, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. You think about what he's saying. God, if you don't move, I am sunk. God, if you don't move, I am dead meat. God, if you don't move, I have had it. God, only you can help. Long, drawn out, heavy, weighty problems will bring us to the point where we realize it's been true all along, we just hadn't recognized it, but it makes it obvious that we have nothing to trust but God Himself and God alone. You know, so many times as we face a problem, we'll concoct, you know, solutions A, B, and C. And usually we'll go through the, you know, try to make one of those work or all of them work, and we'll go down the list and make each of them work. And many times God will allow us to go through that process till we come to the point that we realize only God can help. And He brings us to the point that we seek Him alone. And if you're in that situation today, in fact, this is true for all of us, even if we're not in a problem, we need to seek God alone. Our little solutions won't solve it. Our little placebos won't work. Our little images are all fake. What we need is a genuine trust in the Almighty God and God alone. We need to seek God alone. But then notice what else we see from Haman as we continue looking at Psalm 88. We need to seek God's purpose. Look at verses 14 through 18. O Lord, why do you reject my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? I was afflicted, about to die from my youth on. I suffer your terrors. I am overcome. Your burning anger has passed over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. They have surrounded me like water all day long. They have encompassed me altogether. You have removed lover and friend far from me. My acquaintances are in darkness. You think about what he's asking here. He's asking why. And this is not the why of rebellion. This is not the why of doubting God. This is the why of sincerely wanting to understand if there's a reason, if there's a purpose, or if there's some way that God wants to use it. You know, so many times people will discuss and talk, and I've had it asked to me, is it wrong to ask God why? And really the answer to that question is, well, it depends on the motive for asking. If the why is a why of rebellion, yeah, it's wrong. If the why, is a question of sincerely wanting to know what God is doing, or at the very least how He wants to use it, no, it's not wrong. In fact, it's a mark of wisdom. We all have experienced this. You think about a child, you give some instruction or you teach them something, and they ask you why. Every single one of us can look at that child and hear the tone of the voice, and we know which way they're asking that question. We know if they're trying to be rebellious, and we know if they're trying to really understand and grow and mature. Well, if we can tell the difference with children, I guarantee you God the Father can tell the difference with His children. He knows the difference. I'm not saying we ever ask God why in terms of rebellion, but to understand either His plan, His purpose, or how He wants to use it, by all means, we need to seek God's purpose. Either, you know, He's caused the situation and He wants to use it directly, or He wants to use it indirectly in our life. I've shared before, my dad died of cancer when I was 18, probably one of the life-changing event for me. And I'm not saying that God's purpose in it was simply to get my attention, but as a byproduct of it, He used it to draw me closer to Himself. He used it, in fact, to cause me to ask the questions that brought me into Himself. Again, I'm not saying that's why God did it directly, but He used it. And so we need to, yes, seek God's purpose, either what He did directly or God, how are you wanting to use this? How are you wanting me, in fact, to respond? We need to seek God's purpose. I know we all like quick, happy endings. And I do emphasize quick and happy. But we all know life's not always that way. There are many endings that are not quick, and even when they arrive, they're not happy. Haman's in just such a situation. We don't know how it turned out, but it's obvious it had gone on for quite some time. But you think about what he told us, to seek God. Seek him honestly. Seek him alone. And seek his purpose. We'll find that that's not only the path to growth, maturity, but it's a path deeper into our Father's heart, where we will know him, experience him, and be able to trust him even more. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, you are a God who's in absolute control. And Father, may we trust you. And Lord, I pray especially for those who are going through long, drawn-out problems that seem to have no end in sight, and it seems like that ending is going to be what we would at least classify as sad or tragic. Father, I ask that you be with them. And Father, as we live our lives, Father, may we seek you. And Father, may we seek you alone, not just frivolous, religious, shallow shows or acts, but you. And O Lord God, may we seek you honestly. May we seek you alone. And O Lord God, may we allow you to have your purpose. Be with us as we go through this day. Help us to know you, to walk with you, to experience you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope as you go through this day that you will go in the presence of the Lord, that you'll know his closeness and his nearness. I hope that you'll experience him wonderfully solving every problem that you have, but if you don't experience that deliverance today, that you'll know his presence and his power, his peace and his security, and that through this day you will grow in him.